Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Kinda Funny's DCEU in Review. That's right, we are ranking, reviewing, and recapping every single project in the DCEU. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
I wasn't on the last episode. I just realized that.
On Suicide Squad?
This one, I was back in Texas. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about your rankings later, of course. Mm-hmm. But joining us first is the big dog, Kevin Koala.
What's up, dude? I was not on the last episode.
You were there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Suicide was good.
The Suicide?
You know what, I mean? Yeah. What the fuck?
I'm saying that I ranked it highly. I think that sounds right, right? Yeah.
Probably Suicide Squad was good.
Yes. And, of course, we have the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino, who was also there for the Suicide. I can't even mess it up. It's a whole fucking thing. What else? Go for it, Nick.
I'm very excited to talk about Peacemaker again. I could talk, in the words of one Captain America, I could do this all day. I love this show. Mm-hmm.
And the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Tim, guess what emoji I am?
Yeah, that one. The winky tongue one. Yeah.
Audio listeners, he stuck his tongue out.
And
winked his eye.
There you go, Andy. Come on. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna try to get out there and do play by play of big league baseball, you better get it right. All right.
Of course, this is Kinda Funny's In Review, where each and every week we rank, recap, and review different movie franchises. Right now, we're kind of in a weird place in between a whole bunch of things. So we're returning to DCEU with Peacemaker. We also put up an MCU in preview episode earlier this week. And next week, we'll be returning to the MCU world with the Marvel one-shots that you can watch on Disney Plus. We're going to be watching all of the one-shots. We're not actually going to rank them against everything because it's kind of weird. I just wanted all of us to watch them because they are canon. They're all available in one place for the very first time. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be watching all of them except for the All Hail the King one that led into Iron Man 3 because we already watched that and talked about it back on our Iron Man 3 rewatch that we did that you can go check out. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then the week after that, we are returning to Sony's Spider-Man universe of Spider-Man characters with Morbius in Review. That's sure to be an electrifying time for all of us. But today we're talking about DCEU in Review. Of course, you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review. We'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free and you want to watch live as we record it, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Molecule, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, and Pranksy have all done. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies and DoorDash, but I'll get to that later. Before we even get into Peacemaker, of course, we talked about episode-by-episode breakdowns over on the screencast. I wanted to just give a state of the union when it comes to the DCEU.
Everybody's settling in right here.
Wow. Yeah, man. There was a ton of shakeups in this world, in this universe, if you will, multiverse soon to be, in DC land, where a lot of release dates shifted, a lot of things kind of took the spots of others, and if I'm being completely honest with you, I don't believe that it's the end of it. I think we're going to get even more change-ups soon. Some movies were pushed forward like 8 months, some back even more. Like, it's to say it's a disaster might be a little hyperbolic, but it is interesting to see.
It's upsetting is what it's making. An injustice, yeah. Tim. The Flash is the one we injustice? All want. I don't thank you. Flash is the one we want. We don't want this goddamn freaking we get out of here. Shazam
really
2
great, Tim.
Don't bring in Shazam 2 yet. Really, you know what I mean? Give me Flash. And also, did you see that then it screwed up the director of Flash's joke because they changed the suits in Shazam? And he said, this screws everything. On Twitter, he said, this screws everything up. If anybody was going to ask me why they changed the suits and we don't talk about it, I was going to say Barry messed up the timeline. And that would have been great. But as usual, Warner Brothers and their pencil-pushing bean counters can't stay out of fucking art's way. Art is there, and they just want to fucking ruin it. They don't understand art. It, Andy. Give me Michael Keaton in the fucking bat suit.
What they need is that one big meeting where Kevin Feige sat everybody down and said, listen up,
everyone.
Listen up, you fuck faces.
I've heard it time and time again. Oh, you know, homogenization, the monopolization, everything coming together under one roof is such a bad thing. At this point, Disney, just fucking buy DC Comics. Just buy DC, get it under there, and just fucking fix it.
Just do it right.
Go to Henry Cavill and apologize for the scripts he gave him and let him make another Superman movie.
Apologize, to his whole family, honestly.
Yeah, like, the whole Cavill estate.
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
The Cavills is...
Exactly. This is the energy that we are bringing here, of course. I wanted to, though, kind of boil this down to the simplest bit, which is just to update you guys on what's going on in the DCEU. Because, of course, The Batman came out a couple weeks ago to critical acclaim. We did our in-review of that, but that was in the Batman franchise that we did. That is separate from the DCEU. There's a ton... I know. But it is what it is.
No, it makes sense, though.
But there's also a bunch of spinoff shows that they are announcing and then retracting and then changing. There was going to be a Gotham PD show. It sounds like that might be changing into an Arkham show now. We'll see what all happens there. But that is so, so far away. If I wanted to know, blah, blah, blah. DCEU, though, only has one announced spinoff, well, I guess we have Peacemaker, but we know more of that's coming. But there's one HBO-only movie that they're working on that is still kind of up in the air. It's slated for 2022. We'll see where that shakes out. But otherwise, we do have a couple theatrically released movie dates lined up. The next being Black Adam, which is now October 21st, 2022. That is The Rock's introduction into the DCEU. What's the phrase that they keep saying, Greg?
The power dynamic and the power hierarchy in the DCEU is about to shift forever. Rock, you know it better than anybody. I fucking love you, brother. DJ, we go way back. Fucking stop saying this line, all right? I'm so goddamn sick of hearing this. You know what I mean? Just, it's been fucking years. And then it went quiet for a long time because it seemed like the DCEU was about to implode and you wouldn't have to be a part of it. And then what happened? Billy Batson's stupid ass had to come along and make Shazam a hit. Now I got to get a fucking second Shazam before I get the goddamn Flash and see Michael Keaton in the goddamn Batsuit. And don't even get me started on what this does to the Batgirl. Don't wear the Batgirl movie, right? Yeah, Michael Keaton's in that. Bet we can't have that till Barry fucking shits up the timeline. Fucking goddamn it.
Yes, exactly. So Black Adam, October 21st, and then December 16th, 2022, we have Shazam Fury of the Gods, the same day that Avatar 2 comes out. So we'll see which Battle of the Titans ends up taking that one. But then Batgirl, like Greg was just talking about, that is the HBO Max movie that features Commissioner Gordon, J.K. Simmons, which is going to be pretty cool. And yeah, Michael Keaton's going to be in that. It is slated for 2022 with the same team behind Bad Boys for Life. Which is pretty exciting, but I highly, highly doubt we're going to get that.
Can't do it.
In 2022.
Can't put the cart in front of the horse, Kevin. Kevin, how well you know horses? That's how well I know the DCEU. And so when you put it all on fucking Barry's shoulder to go do this, introduce Supergirl, remake the Justice League with her and Batgirl, you can't fucking have Michael Keaton floating around with J.K. Simmons. No one's going to understand what the fuck's going on. It's not fair.
Do you remember when Barry Allen threatened the KKK group from his local... neighborhood. Do you remember this? See this video?
Talking about Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller, yeah. Did you see this video?
I was like, I don't remember.
Are you talking about him as the character, or do you mean him?
No, real life. I meant him, yeah.
I don't remember. Why didn't you leave with that? Like, you make me look like a fucking moron. Like, I don't remember. I've seen all the deleted scenes. Then you come out, you remember when Barry Allen ran up on the KKK? No, I don't remember when Barry Allen ran up against
that. That was a great
story. That's the kind of stories they should be fucking telling in the DCU. Instead, where you got bean counters moving shit around. Not to mention, you're going to tell me, and first off, don't even get me started on the fact that what year of the DCEU is this, and they're proving once again they don't know what the fuck they're doing, they don't have a plan, you know what, we're going to make a Gotham PD show, it's going to be great. Okay, Gotham Central is a great book, guess what, now it's an Arkham show. Okay, well, that's one way to go about it. You're going to put that Joker guy in there too, the one from the fucking movie, nobody like, it's like, what are we talking about, what are we doing? But back to it, the problem, I mean, then you get, is...
I bet you, Greg, that if they made the KKK the bad guys in a DCEU project, we would probably rank it number one. But I don't know.
We're woke.
Maybe we'll have to wait till the end of this episode to find out how that goes. But anyways, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom comes out March 17th.
That's where I was going. Remember they put out this fucking thing. They had the balls at the beginning of the year. Put out the world needs heroes. All these people fucking, and then they don't even have these movies coming out.
That, dude, you say the beginning of the year, Greg. That was the Super Bowl. That was weeks ago that they did this The World Needs Hope shit and promoted all these movies that then a week later they were like, you know what? Gotcha. We're shifting everything. None of that shit's coming out this year. Aquaman of Lost Kingdom, March 17, 2023. It was originally going to be this December. My man. And my then man. The Flash, the one that we're all looking forward to the most, June 23rd, 2023. And then following that up, oh, I guess there is one more other HBO Max one, Blue Beetle. Featuring the main kid from Cobra Kai, which is very exciting to most of us here. Greg Miller, what's up?
Real quick, you know, I've been ranting and raving here a bit, and I've made it very clear that I don't give a shit about any with the Flash, and I'll see all these other movies, and maybe I'll enjoy them, maybe I won't. But you said the one we're all most excited for. Is that true? Is everybody on board with the Flash being the one they're most excited for? Or, like, because Nick seems like one of these idiots. You'd be like, oh, Shazam 2 is going to be a great popcorn flick, and I'm going to get to see Mary do some
Aquaman
stuff.
2 could be pretty fun.
I'm not excited for any of these movies. I got to be honest. I'm not. Like this is such a hodgepodge of poorly planned movies that we've been having to deal with for so long, and then you get Peacemaker, and you're like, how did they not screw this up? Like, what's going on? How did this happen? And all these other movies are still being made, and that's why I'm excited to talk more about this, because it is a very positive and really well done DC property that I feel like that people should be looking at and going like, okay, maybe we should take some notes from this one and let, you know, really good creators just kind of have a plan and go in there and execute.
Now, Nick, I know we were dancing around this a little bit and kind of mentioned it, but like, you remember that the Flash is returning to Michael Keaton's Batcave.
Yes, I remember that whole thing, and it's going to be very nostalgic, but let's be perfectly honest, it's going to be horrible. Like, it's
get the fuck out of here.
It's going to be bad. It's going to,
this will be the one that fixes it, Nick. There's they're bringing Michael Keaton back to the DCEU. They're pumping Ben Affleck away. They're erasing Superman.
I think Ben Affleck punted them away, actually.
Kevin, this isn't fucking divorce court proceedings, all right? I'm telling you what's happening in the narrative, all right?
But isn't it, though?
Ben Affleck's in the movie. He came crawling back, you know what I mean? They're like, here's a Twix bar. He's like, I'll do anything. Yeah, I mean, I'm in love with J-Lo again, and that's just a great story, everybody. I'm very excited. if we can drop all of our characters for a second, Andy, take off your fake glasses. What we're here to say in reality as your friends is that it is great that J-Lo and Ben Affleck are together again.
I'm very excited about it. For a second, I zoned out for a second. I thought you were talking about the movie Marry Me, which is now available for purchase on demand for $20.
Yes, yes, it is.
Did you purchase it already? Is that how you know so much about it?
No, I want to. I'm not going to spend money on that movie. I will.
Frankly, that's the best story in the DC.
But I'm not going to spend that much money. No, I mean, all this is super confusing, and it's unfortunate because it's just, again, like, I think the Flash resetting stuff is going to be fine for people who are hardcore DC fans, but like for Fairweather fans or people who are just randomly going to movies to see Batman, they're like, whatever, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
I think that they're smart enough to understand, like, especially because, like,
No Way Home. The last Spider-Man universe.
Yeah, post Spider-Man universe, like that, like, we've been introduced to multiverse with characters that you hadn't seen in a long time. So, like, that concept makes sense. And also, no one remembers who he is. So it's like, oh, the world's changed, you know, and like people accept and understand what that means, you know. So I think that they're going to be ready for it. So
it's my worry with it, though, is like you're tearing down a building, but the foundation is still bad, right? And you're going to start building up on top of that. Really, what they need to do is call it what it is and start over. They need to scrap all these projects and start over with a plan, and or let Matt Reeves go forward with whatever this new universe is and push forward with that. But like,
and we just don't do the universe anymore. We tried half-assedly. We let all these fucking executives and bean counters in the room. Maybe we just stop. Maybe everybody just gets to do whatever they want to do.
It sounds like a marriage. Just like, you know what? Maybe we just give, you know, we tried to make this work. Let's just move on. Let's move on to greener pastures.
But I think that's the most interesting thing about this is like looking at this slate of release dates, which again is inevitably going to change. But it is weird that it went from The Flash being one of the earlier projects we were going to see, getting punted to June 23rd. It is the last theatrical release date movie we have for the DCU so far. And that is weird, because so you're going to give us a couple movies before essentially resetting things. Like, I think that is not great. And that goes back to the bean counter shit that Greg's talking about, where it's like, this just seems like doing things to do things just because it's obligated, as opposed to like having a story to tell.
Well, you've spent a lot of money doing it, and that was what it comes down to, right? As you've already filmed these movies, you've spent a lot of marketing money, you've got contracts with actors. Like, it's not like people just go, you know, we're gonna make a Flashpoint movie right now, and then just tomorrow it happens. This shit's been years in the planning. That's why they need to start planning now to take all this stuff down and redo it.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, but remember, The Flash at this point was originally slated for 2017. So it's like, it has been in the works for a long time, and now it's like finally coming out. It's like, oh, too little, too late. Greg Miller.
There's nothing I want to do more than hang out with you guys and talk about this, right? But mm-hmm. I feel like we got off to the races in a bad way. I feel mm-hmm. like there's some bad mojo in here, and we need to be honest, real people again. Andy, wipe the fake glasses off your fucking face. Step away from this. Just step away from it for a second. You know, everybody chill out. I'm going to step away from the computer for a second and be real. I'm going to be real. Why would we have a sponsor like DoorDash? Because I'm Greg Miller and I use DoorDash too many times. I need to go get my DoorDash order. I need to clear my mind for a second. Kevin, you're going to think I can't hear you, but these are loud. So if you talk shit right now, sir, I will hear you, all right?
Look at this. He has no idea. No, he can't hear shit. I told you, he didn't fucking hear shit.
That was incredible. I just want everyone to fucking understand how great that was.
Did Ezra Miller actually choke someone?
Yeah, he choked a woman. Yeah, he choked a woman.
But like in public space.
Not a fun way. No. It was very violent.
Kind of got brushed over, huh?
No.
It's bad.
I just don't think it's brought up enough. Like, I think that I think it's an issue that people don't talk about enough. But again, this KKK video I was talking about, look it up, because it's him threatening a local chapter.
Is he dressed as the Flash?
No, it's just him in a car being like, hey, you all know what you're doing, by the way. Like, I know what y'all are doing.
I can't, Andy. I can't with these glasses. I can't.
Move your head just a little bit. Because it's when your eyes start
getting
it's when it gets off and it looks really bad.
The joke really starts to land.
I didn't notice it. I heard Greg say it. Do you have the video? Because I'm having, like, I'm seeing a lot of articles.
Let's watch this KKK video. If somebody's dunking on the KKK, that's the kind of video we need to watch. The world needs heroes, I was told. Now I'm only getting two of them.
It's I wouldn't recommend watching it. Yeah. He basically said, like, hey, you know, you got your weapons. He was threatening them. I don't know if what I want to say will get flagged in a YouTube, like, algorithm, be like, oh, this video is saying this, so, like, let's take it down or whatever.
I'm pretty sure we already got flagged when you said KKK. That's one of those fun buzzwords that makes this get delisted. But I wonder if Ezra Miller knows that he's actually not the Flash in real life, because that's a super dangerous thing to be doing to people. And maybe there's a better way to go about that. Maybe you just use your platform to talk about that instead of facing off against real people who could stab you in the face.
It was a pretty wild video. Yeah, he was
From what Andy made, it sounded like he walked up to the local chapter of the KKK in New York.
It was like a vlog, or not vlog, but like selfie.
It was like a video mess. It was basically like justice. It was kind of like one of those videos, and he was like, "I'm with, like, you all should take your asses out before we do it." Okay, bye. And he like, it's wild. It was like this happened over Christmas break. Like, what's going on right now?
Was this like him trying to save face after he like pushed that fan down or whatever? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just talking about that while you left. We chose.
Oh, my apologies. My apologies. I couldn't hear. It didn't carry as well as I thought it would. As soon as you
put the headphones down, I started talking.
We started talking shit. Yeah.
First off, Nick, I know you did. All right, I know you did, and I would expect nothing less. This is why you're my favorite golden pea. All right, but Kevin, I don't think you did it, and I think you never would do it.
Tim, what's a golden pea?
I'll tell you what. I got some energy in a weird way today, guys. It's not the normal. You know what I mean?
Macho man.
Today we're talking about Peacemaker. It had eight. Episode.
But what if we weren't?
We were just talking about the state of the union.
Peacemaker's number one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it really is that simple. But Peacemaker, with a runtime of 8 episodes released on January 13th through February 17th.
What's the runtime? Eight episodes.
Now, yeah, you know, I want everyone to understand, back in the day when WandaVision first came out, there was a lot of question. There was a lot of hullabaloo, Greg. What are they going to do for In Review? Are they really going to do the plot for the entire thing? Are they going to really do the math on the runtime? Are they going to include the credits for that runtime? Because they include the credits runtime when they do movies. And I was at a standstill. Morally and ethically, as an entertainer for you all, what do I do? I don't know. So I want everyone to know, when I gave the runtime for WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, I personally went in and I watched the episodes and I skimmed until the credits started and I did the math. I manually added it up. I ain't doing that shit. The runtime is 8 episodes. That's what it is, you motherfuckers. You're going to take that and you're going to like it. It was released January 13th and February 17th, 2022 on HBO Max. It was directed and written by James Gunn. He did 5 out of 8 of the episodes in terms of directing, but he wrote all of them. He wrote the entire first season in 8 weeks during the COVID quarantine out of pure boredom, not actually believing the series would ever get picked up. This was during the editing process of the Suicide Squad. God, there's so much energy going on.
I hate when they
show.
Talk to each other.
I know.
They're slacking each other. Right
I know.
Now.
Oh, no. Nothing. It's that so sound, Andy.
Hold on, I gotta open Photoshop.
No, I don't like Greg opening Photoshop. God.
Sorry, Tim. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no. Don't be sorry to me. Be sorry to everyone else.
Yeah, be sorry to the audio listeners.
Stop watching this right around the time we started talking about the KKK.
Okay, so the music was the key music that I want to talk about is done by Wigwam. The intro song, Do You Want to Taste It, which became a cultural phenomenon over on TikTok, resulting in it coming in at number one on the top rock charts for the very first time. You'll love to
Makes
see it.
Sense.
So damn cool.
Makes
the
sense.
Song was originally released in 2009, but we finally, justice has been served.
Peacemaker James Gunn. Do you think James Gunn is like, hey, give us back our licensing fee? Like, you all are making money right now, man.
James Gunn is a booster. He's stoked that this happens to him. Because there you go. I think, he was tweeting all about it, right? And I think it was also like Wigwam's like management company dropped him like the day before or whatever it started airing. He's like, fuck them. James Gunn loves sticking it to the man, Andy.
It's the best. Another fun thing there is they are a Norwegian glam rock band, Wigwam. They came in ninth place in the 2005 Eurovision Song Contest.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Thing. It's a oh yes, oh yes.
Man, I thought it was just a really bad Rachel McAdams Will Ferrell movie.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, it wasn't Blades of Glory, but it was all right.
Well, don't. I mean,
it wasn't
Kevin,
Blades of Glory,
which is an excellent film. Which is an excellent film.
If you're good, if you're going to hold something as the benchmark of quality, Blades of Glory is pretty.
That and the Heat.
Yeah.
Blades of Glory is so good.
The Sandy Bullock movie ever made.
So normally I talk about the box office.
Congeniality's a movie, okay?
And what about the one where she was in space? I like that one.
Gravity,
Speed.
Nah, it's too serious.
Or Speed's a good one too.
Speed 3.
Gravity.
Speed Space Station. Sorry, Tim.
Normally I talk about box office, but since there's not a box office for this because it's a TV show, I will just drop some fun facts. Each episode received higher viewership than the last, with the season finale breaking the record for highest single day viewership of an HBO Max original episode. So. Pretty cool stuff there. And because of that, a second season was ordered with Gunn set to write and direct every single episode of it.
That's great.
Yes.
That's what
yes,
it be.
Is. Let's start with you, Nick. It's been a couple weeks removed from Peacemaker. We've had a whole bunch of different shows now of the superhero variety. Obviously, so many different universes of movies we've talked about. Where are you at now?
Yeah, I'm still at the same place I was before, man. You know, we just watched and did a deep dive into the trailer for season 3 of The Boys. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I didn't realize how much. First off, I love The Boys. It's a great show. But I think Peacemaker hits on that level for me, man. Like, it's one of those that I'm like, I saw that trailer. I'm like, I miss Peacemaker. I miss The Boys. I like the more R-rated adult style approach that James Gunn and the team that does The Boys have to this material. I think it hits right on my alley. It's my kind of twisted, fucked up humor. And at the heart of it, I think it's backed by really good storytelling and really, really good character arc, specifically John Cena's character arc. I think this movie, oh, is that what a golden pee is?
That's a golden pee to me, Nick. That's okay. What made me laugh so hard. Nick just asked, what is a golden pee? And I had to make one in Photoshop. It wasn't.
You made that. Oh my God. I didn't know I could get more mad at this bit, but here it is. Here it is. You had to Photoshop peas gold, and this is your gold. This looks like fucking lemonade. Like, like.
Andy, listen, this isn't the one we're going to print with. This isn't the one we're going to print with. This is me in a GIF trying to show you what it is. All right.
Yeah.
Golden. It's James Gunn drawing storyboards and on a napkin. Jeez. You know?
Perfect.
Fucking Tim would come into Picasso's studio and just start fucking tipping over all the jars he was working in, huh? That's how you do it, wouldn't you? You don't let an artist work.
All the jars he was working in.
Yeah.
I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife last night. There's a lot of jars in it.
A lot of canned peaches. A lot of jarred peaches. Back to my point though, Tim. This to me is one of the rare shows that I'm like, I need another season of this. This is appointment viewing. This is a must watch if you are a fan of the comic book genre. And that's great. Honestly, I think that's a step in the right direction as far as like the TV properties are concerned. Because as you know, like a lot of the Star Wars TV shows I haven't been that hot on, and a lot of the Marvel shows are good, but I don't feel the need for another season of any of those. If there's another season, I'll totally watch them, and they're enjoyable while it's happening, but I don't need a Loki season 2. I don't really need a Falcon and Winter Soldier season 2. I don't really need...
You don't need a Loki season 2.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, if it happens, I'll watch it, but I'm not clamoring for it, right?
I'm there with Nick.
You know, like Peacemaker, like when they announced it, I was like, excellent. I have something to look forward to. I'm really looking forward to this. John Cena and the team and James Gunn and all the supporting cast and crew did a great job. They should get another season of the show. And I feel the same way about The Boys. I'm glad that's continuing. Those are my two sort of like benchmark shows right there.
Andy, last time we talked about Peacemaker, I feel like you were the lowest out of all of us on the show. You still seem to really enjoy it, but I think that episode to episode, you were the one that was always kind of like, this one wasn't for me. Where are you at now?
Much like Nick, I'm kind of in the same spot. I think it's a good TV show. I don't think I enjoy James Gunn Unleashed. I think maybe let's, just like I said in that one episode, let's tone back some of the humor because I don't think all of it is hitting. I think it's like a heat check for James Gunn. You know, Steph Curry, Tim, when he's on a run, he just throws threes up from wherever, right? He's usually hitting them. With James Gunn, it's like, okay, let's, maybe you're not Steph Curry right now. Let's kind of like, you know, put a leash around those jokes, because I just don't think a lot of them worked. And I don't think that the storytelling was as good as engaging as something like The Boys. But I still think it's one of the better DC products out there by far. And that says both that says a lot about both things, about not only Peacemaker, but the DCEU as a whole. And I think the show got better as it went on. That was my issue with it, was that I feel like it was kind of slow near the beginning. Like, in that first episode hit, I was like, damn, that was great. I want more of that. And I just feel like it kind of took a while to kind of find itself. And I think it did eventually get stronger as it went on, though. But I will watch season 2 of this, but unlike what Nick was saying, I don't think that I'd prefer watching this over something like a Loki season 2. Or even a WandaVision, because WandaVision kind of lost itself near the end of it for me. But yeah, I think it's a good TV show. I just don't think it's like the best product that they've put out so far. I think Suicide Squad is still probably my number one, by James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Reiterating.
Andy, I don't think you need to preface that, by the way. That's something you need to really like.
No one's jumping in for Jared Leto.
David Ayers. Yeah.
I stand by everything I said in the individual reviews and how much I loved the show and how much I was getting more and more hype for the show and how I felt it built on itself so well. I do think this is something incredibly special. I do think it's the number one thing in the DCEU. It'd be fun to take it up one day against MCU just to see where we think it would rank there, because I know we've always talked about, like, you know, this kind of DCEU is always like double A ball to the major league that is the MCU. However, this show, I think, succeeds where so many don't. And I'm trying to, as we've had this conversation, I don't think I've put the lens on of comparing it to the other shows that have come before, but I would think this is, I don't want to say easily, because I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but I would think easily my favorite of any show we've watched and done the episode by episode review of for superheroes. It's the one that I how many weeks has it been since the finale? And I still think about all the time, and I still listen to the soundtrack all the time. And I am anxious for when Jen is finally like, all right, cool, let's start it again. Let's do episode one. She hasn't watched it. She didn't watch it with me for work. So I'm excited to rewatch it with her. And I'm actually kind of champing at the bit to do it. Like, I want to do another rewatch. I think this show is my favorite of the DCEU properties because it builds every joke, payoff, and relationship so well. I think to get to the end and have a payoff to the Dyebeard joke, you know, to actually feel for these characters, to be so connected to John Cena and have those moments, like I think of these episodes, you know, that have the powerful musical ending, you know, James Gunn, obviously centerpiece for all of his things is music, but you know, him laying on the floor after rocking out and thinking about his brother dying, you know, Home Sweet Home on the piano, like the way they meld the story with the actual score so well and build on it, and the happiness of, you know, everybody in the van taking the selfie and stuff like that. Like, I think this show's something really, really special, and I love it. I think it's great. And I think I love it because it made me love all the characters individually. And that's why I like it more than the Suicide Squad, where Suicide Squad, I think we did walk away from, and it was like, oh, I don't even know who, you know, Hardcore it is, or who, you know, Dyebeard is, or like, you know, Economos. Like, they were just in there and it kind of felt like they were weird and jarring in that because there were so many people in that, and clearly, like, they were really trying to make us care about the Suicide Squad, the people with the boots on the ground thing, and they did. But like, even Ratcatcher, like, I didn't love Ratcatcher the way I love the characters in this, from, and I mean every character, I feel like, honestly, maybe not Tasty's wife or whatever, but like, just because I don't know her, she was very much just set dressing to, you know, yeah, what the stakes were and stuff like that. But every major character I think is awesome. And even, you know, on the ride home today from the airport dropping my mom off, I was running through the Peacemaker highlights, and I had so many. And even then, just to get to, you know, the final shot of the show, right, of Cena out there on the porch with Eagly, and then having Goff sitting there eating the last of the stuff. And then the fact that, you know, James Gunn is, you know, does what he usually does, and that's, you know, run a director's commentary on Twitter and talk about, like, openly, that's the last of the gold juice from the cow. Like, that's it. That's, you know, like, that is symbolic of, you know, Goff's come there to die. And
Goff is dead. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. Andy?
I kind of want to make a comparison here that it kind of reminds me of reviewing Horizon Zero Dawn, the video game, or Horizon Forbidden West, and a lot of people in the comments being like, Andy, you just didn't give it enough time. But it's like, if you're not a massive fan of Will Ferrell movies, watching more Will Ferrell movies isn't going to necessarily make you like him more, you know? And I think at the core of it, I just never liked this cast a whole lot to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the humor might have worked more if it were actors that I really dug and wanted to see more of. But when I didn't love them in the movie, that kind of gave me a good hint that I wasn't going to love 8 episodes of them. And that, I feel like I liked them like a percentage decimal points more like as the show went on. But like, I still never really loved what they were bringing to the table, and I think that's a lot of that's a lot of my sort of criticism for it, and that's all purely just subjective. It's just, you know, I wasn't a massive fan of them.
Yeah, I don't think anything's wrong with that. Like, obviously, like, I mean, again, you saying you'd rather watch Loki over this is like, it's that's just a totally subjective thing. And again, I don't mean to just say that Loki's not a fun show. It's just not, it just didn't hit for me like I wanted it to hit, like it seemed to hit for you. But obviously John Cena running around in his tidy whities jumping from patio to patio and just eating shit every single time he hits is the kind of lowbrow humor that Nick Scarpino gets up in the morning for.
Kev, what do you think?
I mean, I love this show. I find that I mean, I'm a big fan of the Marvel shows. I think that they've been great. But I don't know how much I'm drawn back to them now that I've watched them. And I, there are some of them that are like, oh, I'd love another season of Hawkeye. But like, I'm not itching for it. But then when, like right now, I had a couple free hours, so I sat down. I was like, I'll put this show on because I have been thinking about it and I kind of miss it. And man, like I watched three random episodes in the middle and watching it for the second time was so good. And just there's so much fun. There's I don't know what it is exactly, but there's like a layer of it that just the every joke pretty much gets me. I mean, there's a bunch of like a bunch of jokes that aren't for me or they're, you know, they don't get me 100%, but like I get a chuckle out of most things, and rewatching it is so satisfying. I love this, and I think that for me this is one of the best superhero shows that I've ever seen. It's this and like either I mean the humor elevates this a little bit more, but it's this and Watchmen, which is also HBO Max,
yeah.
Where it's like, wow, these are
well, that was HBO.
Yeah, that was HBO proper.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Now they're all the same thing, Greg. It's all the same thing.
So it's I'm so blown away by that. When we first found out this was coming, I was like, wait, those random side characters that we saw for 2 seconds? Like who's Harcourt and Economos? That like those are such weird names. And now it's like they mean something and I care about them. And it's like, wow, the power of James Gunn to do that. I'm just utterly blown away, and it's like I wish he could do more. I hope he can do this as long as he wants to, and I hope that he does this
with other characters.
Yeah, and I hope he has fun with it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is like you thought it's maybe a difficult thing to compare, you know, the Disney Plus shows to this, because in a lot of ways he's got way more leeway, right? This is a rated R show or TV, what is it, MA. They show nudity, they show swearing, that's ultra violent. I mean, that's a lot more, you have a lot more latitude with which to experiment and have some fun with than I think some of the Disney Plus shows do. But honestly, to me, the benchmark of the best possible superhero show is Watchmen. And I love this show, don't get me wrong. I love Peacemaker, it's super cool. But I don't think it holds a candle to the quality and that and the level of like insane storytelling that Watchmen did, in my opinion.
It's not that I don't think you're wrong. I think Watchmen's storytelling is on another level. I think what they did, but I think their objectives were different. And I like that they aren't all hold to the same thing, right? Where I like Watchmen was a grounded, you know, air quotes or whatever for that, because it's superheroes, but a grounded, like, we're trying to make this feel like what would happen in a world where superheroes really did exist and we were taking it seriously, where Peacemaker gets to be more super goofy and it gets to be vigilante
fish,
yeah, whatever. Right, and it gets, and I appreciate that there's that latitude. I don't want it to feel like, you know, to be the best superhero show. I feel like even when I say I guess that's what's interesting, when we sat here and we ran around about like, you know, or I did about like, oh man, like MCU and I have to think and yada yada yada, Watchmen didn't come up because I don't consider Watchmen a superhero show. It's a comic book, it's a comic book graphic novel inspired show. It is about superheroes, but if we were to sit here and list superhero shows, I bet I would have avoided that. I would have not even thought about that because I put that into a different category, because I feel like this is a comic book. And I feel like the MCU shows are comic books. And I'm not trying to say they're juvenile, but I think it's different in terms of where you suspend disbelief and where you go in and what you're looking for.
Well, I think you put it perfectly right. I think it's what's your expectation going in, right? And my expectation going in with Peacemaker is like, this is going to be a silly, crazy 8-episode ride. With Watchmen, I was like, this is either going to be horrible or the next level of stuff, right? And it ended up being next level. And I know that's not leaving a lot of space for interpretation there, but like with Watchmen, I was like, we don't need this.
It's
and
like best series of all
episode.
Time.
Yeah,
like,
and then I watched the first episode, I was like, oh shit, this is something special here.
That's exactly how I feel about Peacemaker. Like hearing about it happening, I was like, Suicide Squad was cool. Peacemaker was a character that definitely caught my attention and I was interested. But then I heard the show was coming, and I'm like, we don't need this. Yeah. Like, there's no way. And then they announced who the characters were, and we, like, saw that squad. And I was like, yeah, this is really weird. We don't need this. And then I saw the first episode. And, I mean, we were lucky enough that we saw the first 3 episodes, right? Or, well, no, I guess we saw the first
episode. If you wanted to, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
we
watched, I mean, I watched them one by one. But it was definitely one of those things where you watched the first episode, you're like, shit.
Yeah, this is something, like, this is bigger than what I thought it was going to be. And I was just blown away.
And that's the sort of like, I mean, and maybe it's unfortunate. Maybe it's just my way of thinking about the DC just in general right now, the DC universe. But, you know, you hear about like Colin Farrell getting a spinoff show for the Penguin. And I'm like, I don't know if I need that or not. But
the trials and tribulations of running a club.
But also, right?
But then
not,
you look at Peacemaker and you're like, that could be cool. It could be, yeah. It could work. And you, there's a way to make things work. Like I always say, anything can work if you have the right creative team behind it. And Peacemaker is a perfect example of that. Where if you had told me 3 or 4 years ago, hey, John Cena is going to be this obscure character that personally I've never heard of before, and it's going to be an 8-episode run, I'd be like, I don't want to watch that. But if the second season was out tomorrow, I would start watching it tomorrow.
And that's where I come in with it, is like with what Nick just said. Obviously, we've said that a million times now, of just like no one would ever be excited for a Peacemaker show. And it's like, cool, even John Cena as an obscure DC character, like who would care? But it's like, oh, James Gunn is writing and directing it. And all of a sudden you're like, cool, I get it. And that makes sense now that it's an obscure character. That is totally up his alley. And, you know, me kind of looking at the show a couple months removed or whatever, like I am still enamored by it. I really enjoyed the ride the entire way through. I do think it is one of the best superhero shows we've ever gotten. And I just love that we're getting to a point that the shows are more similar to the movies, where we're so far past the early Fantastic Four, X-Men movies, Daredevil level of superhero movies for the TV shows. Like we got through all of the early shows that like were like whatever, the Gothams and the, you know, that type of stuff, to get to this point where it's like Gotham. You know, we're just letting people have creative vision and control over the stories they're telling. And I in the same way that I equally love Winter Soldier and Thor Ragnarok, and those could not be more different movies, but that's kind of like, yeah, sure, they're both comic book superhero movies, but they are so radically different. And I love that we can get radically different things and genres and types of storytelling throughout all of this. But there is still the rules of you're in a universe and you're playing in that universe. And I think that that's one of the greatest strengths of Peacemaker, is that it played with the rules of the DCEU. As stupid as they are, as messed up and shitty as they've gotten over the years, like James Gunn used that playground and he played with it well. And this show wrapping up with the Justice League cameo and it being as awesome as it was, I think is kind of something that sets this show apart. And almost when I start comparing it to the MCU shows, just because they're shows, I look at it and I'm like, they just did the thing that a lot of the MCU shows so far haven't done, which is just completely deliver the most over the top outcome of cameos and surprises, right? With the Justice League. We haven't had the Avengers in an MCU thing. I don't think it's necessarily that means it's better than the other. I think that it's just like I think that James Gunn completed the vision of this project almost as good as it possibly could have been done.
Yeah.
Going obscure, going full on James Gunn, which, you know, for better or worse, it's not going to hit for everybody, but for the people it hits for, it's going to really hit. And to then also have that level of connection to the universe, to introduce so many characters and ideas and dumb things and make them canon to this universe that like we all care about because it's either funny or expands it in a way that's interesting, to then top that off with also including elements that we have watched at this point, what was it, 11 different movies that honestly, most of them are bad, but like to even take some of that bad and try to turn it into good, I thought they did a great job. I do think that looking at the shows, talking about a lot of the MCU shows, even like I think the shows get a bad rap overall, where I still think that we haven't gotten one of the shows that is like, holy shit, this is the best thing ever. This is like top tier MCU, because I think all of them have some element that we look at and are like, oh, I think WandaVision was so close. And that finale and that final kind of bit really kind of dropped the ball on it. I just don't like that we look at that and judge it as if that show wasn't good because of that. When we look at movies, and how often are we like, oh yeah, the third act of that Marvel movie was whatever. But like, we don't judge it as overall a failure because of that, because of the runtime, you know? And I think that like looking at the shows, I feel like the MCU shows, with the exception of probably What If, more often than not were great than like okay, but we look back at them as the lowest common denominator of what they offered. I say all that to put in perspective that this show didn't have that to me. Like this show just nailed it. This show committed to what it was trying to do and really did something special that is more similar to something like The Boys. But where I think it even exceeds The Boys is that it plays in a universe that we know, and it used that universe. We really gotta commend James Gunn for doing that, because like, he took the worst of the worst, the DCEU. I'm sorry. It's the worst universe we have. and did something cool with it, you know? And I really appreciate that.
And that's what, and I think that's important, right? Because I think an analog to this for me, kind of, I mean, not because it was running poorly, but this show is kind of like a disruptor, and it makes me kind of think of Deadpool. It makes me think of like, hey, we've got this sort of like status quo that's happening in the MCU, and then we've got this weird offshoot Fox movie that came out that's just so radically different and kind of doing like taking the genre and twisting it and showing everyone else that, hey, there's a different way to do this. And that's important. Like, it's important for creators to come in and say, look, I've got this medium. How best can I utilize this? And that's where my disappointment comes in with the Marvel shows, is that I felt WandaVision coming out of the gate, and I know it wasn't supposed to be the first one, but coming out of the gate, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is utilizing this format to tell a different type of story that maybe people don't want to go pay, you know, the ticket price for a theater and sit for 2 hours to see. This is a lot more introspective. This is a lot more about someone's inner turmoil, and it's having fun with the visuals and the genres and all that stuff, and this is cool. But then by the time we get to Hawkeye, I was like, this is like a CW show, and it's fine. And I'll say this, I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time, but I think Flash season 1 and 2 are better than Hawkeye.
No.
Flash season 1 is really good, but I mean, it's really good. I'm not ready to go to the mat yet, Flash season 1 is real good.
I don't think it's, I liked the first 4 seasons of Flash, but like Hawkeye was better.
I don't know. To me, none of them are hitting a mark where I'm like, well, these are great. Like I think they're fine. I think they're serviceable, and I think they're interesting shows to watch, and they definitely are entertaining. But I don't think of them in the same category that I think of even half of the MCU movies. Like I wouldn't. Like if you were to say, Nick, you could watch 2 more seasons of Hawkeye or the next Spider-Man movie, I'd be like, come on, it's a no-brainer, man. Watch the next Spider-Man movie. If someone was like, hey, Nick, in order to watch the next Spider-Man movie, you never can watch another Disney Plus show again, I'd be like, well, that's a no-brainer either. I want the Spider-Man movie. So
having said that, I just want to put out there, like, the point I'm trying to make is, Nick, if we look back and watch you on screencast week to week, you're much higher on it until there's a bad point, and then that's what sticks with you. And like, I think that's kind of the issue, especially when we rank them. It's like, most of them high.
I could be wrong about WandaVision, but I think I was pretty high on that show. And then the last point, it was, I mean, it sucks. They didn't stick the landing, and that just kind of became the worry for the MCU shows, because if you'll remember, that was the same criticism we all had of Falcon Winter Soldier. We were like, okay, we kind of got to the end, and it was deflated by these the flag smashers, and they were like just kind of generic and stuff like that.
But I don't think it was just the endings, though. I think they played with expectations in a way to where we thought something more was going to happen, and the fact that the things we wanted to happen didn't, kind of, you retroactively look back at those other episodes that you may have enjoyed at the time because you thought they were going to mean something bigger, and then you go, that is kind of a disappointment. But overall, like, I think WandaVision is a much more creative and better show than Peacemaker. I think Loki is the highest mark that they can hit TV show wise, and even better than a lot of the movies. And that's why we ranked it higher than a lot of better of the movies. I think storytelling wise, it is on another level of all of these shows. And I think it was the most consistent all the way through. I think Peacemaker is incredibly consistent as well. However, it's just like incredibly, like, 6 out of 10 good for me, like a good TV show. It never really hit any terrible low points. But I rarely felt like, God damn, this is a must watch type of thing right now with this show. And that's just how I felt.
I want to keep this conversation going, but real quick, let's go to a word from our sponsors. Shout out to MeUndies. We've all been there trying on clothes in a dressing room, and everything makes you look like 3 kids hiding in a coat. Finding the perfect size is annoying. That's why MeUndies makes undies, bralettes, and loungewear to fit just right. Y'all know how long I've loved MeUndies. I am often wearing the shirt, the lounge pants, the undies, the socks, like I'm doing right now. If I was a cartoon character, this would just be my outfit. It would just be all MeUndies. I love it because of the soft micromodal fabric and because it does fit really well. MeUndies knows that comfort starts with the perfect size and fit. That's why they wear test all sizes from extra small to 4XL for everything they make. They've got different cuts for different butts and everything from bold colors to fun adventurous prints, so the world can be a comfier place for every booty. MeUndies promises if you're not comfortable with any product for any reason, you can return your order for a full refund within 45 days. MeUndies has a great offer for y'all. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. To get 50% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to DoorDash. Sometimes pulling into your driveway after a trip to the grocery store only to realize you forgot one key ingredient for dinner kind of feels like the end of the world. But with DoorDash, you can get the groceries and household essentials you need or a backup meal from your favorite local restaurant delivered in under an hour. Desperately craving a late night snack or just want to stock up for the week with DoorDash, get it all in one app. We've been using DoorDash forever. You hear us on the Kinda Funny podcast, always talking about the different taquerias we're ordering from, the different burger places we're ordering from. We are super happy and we love to just get the food delivered right to us. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code KINDAFUNNY. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDAFUNNY. Don't forget, that's code KINDAFUNNY for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Now here's the thing, I'm gonna throw an option out there for all you boys. We're gonna vote right here on what we do. Do we go through and do the plot for this, or do we keep this conversation going and just talk about the state of superhero TV shows and what we kind of expect from it all?
We'll rank it on a different episode.
Well, I think we should do the plot. I think we should do the plot. Cool. Yeah. Anyone else?
Greg Miller.
I don't want to do the plot. I don't think we should do the plot. No.
Okay.
Greg, no, you're voting. Sorry, we're voting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is, well, you remember we had a conversation before we go that I was going to try a new thing where I read the plots from Wikipedia this time around for each episode because I don't think we've nailed the plot before. But I think it also kind of speaks to us having not nailed what the shows for recapping this universes are, right? Because I'd imagine if you're watching DC in review for this, you probably watched us do Peacemaker reviews one by one as we went. So you already know we're super high on it and you already watched it and you're already there, right? And I feel like we're already hitting points about what we loved and what we didn't love. So I feel like it might be, yeah, a bit of well-worn territory to come in. I think we also, I mean, we could just do it now, the vote, and then continue the conversation, because I think I've already made it pretty clear I'm voting number one on this.
Yeah, I'm down to do that. You want to, let's do a little ragu bagu.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Ragu.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Bagu.
What's up, fuck faces? It's time for your favorite podcast within a podcast, Ragu Bagu, where we rank all the villains of the DC EU cinematic universe against each other and see what happens. Right now, volume 7 is what I list the DC EU as, and it looks like this. Number 1, Starro/Waller/Corta Maltese from the one, the only, James Gunn Suicide Squad. Then number 2 is Black Mask and Zaz from the old Birds of Prey. Number 3 is Zod from Man of Steel. Number 4 is Dooms/Lex from, of course, Batman v Superman. Number 5 is Steppy/Darkseid from the Snyder Cut. Number 6 is Maxwell Lord/Cheetah from Wonder Woman 87. Number 7 is Thad. Number 8 is Sir Pat. Number Thad. 9 is Ocean Thad. T-H-A-D Thaddeus is what we have.
Shazam.
Of course. The villain we all remember from the one we can't wait to get another sequel to. Shazam, everybody.
Shazam was much better than most of the crap they're pushing out. Right?
Yeah.
I enjoyed Shazam.
Yeah, it was way more enjoyable than Batman versus Superman.
Of course, Kevin's got to come right for me. I've never said anything. I didn't even bring up his obsession with Govy lights today, but he's got to come for my eyeballs. He's got to come for my fucking eyeballs. You know?
Turn your lights pink. Let's see that. Come on, let's see pink from your lights. Huh?
Echo, turn the den
Kevin,
lights
don't
pink.
Let him get you, Kevin. Don't let him get
it
you.
Hurts
you're on the
so
side,
much.
You're on the side of right.
Look
Kevin,
at that.
You're on the
look
side
at that pink. That's a purple, a lavender at best.
It's like an off-white.
Echo, turn the den lights purple.
That's best.
Echo, turn the den lights lavender.
Echo, what's the definition of a golden piece?
Just white. A little bit.
Echo, turn the den lights fuchsia.
Kevin, I thought you would have brought up the golden pea picture that I submitted, by the way.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Andy. Andy.
I know. Thank you.
Did you Google this? Or?
Number 8 is Sir Pat, like we said. Sir Pat, I believe that's from Wonder Woman, right?
Oh, no, that's the wrong thing. There it is.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah. Sir Pat?
Yeah.
Patrick Timmy, Stewart?
Timmy, you seeing this?
Oh, yeah.
That's number nine was Ocean here. Master wow. slash manga.
Greg, real quick. Is this what...
I feel like we all owe. I feel like we should Black stop Manta. Right now and apologize no, to
Black
Tim.
Black Manta, yeah.
No, I just got a Slack from Nick Scarpino that says, "I'm so sorry about this podcast. I know you work hard on these."
I'm trying so hard to make some semblance of like cohesion in this. I do. Fucking pull out a golden pea picture.
No, I try hard, but you know what? It is weird. We're trying to find the grounding and the footing for the TV shows. I will say that a lot of people have been rewatching and review from the beginning recently. I've been seeing some people tweet at us, and someone was like, "Yo, it's crazy that they didn't find the format for in review until like seven movies in. Like there was no plot, there was no shit, and even then, like we've had a lot of changes and stuff. So we're still trying to figure out what the TV show.
The TV you know ones make it difficult. But what I want to do is have Nick apologize to me, because this is like fucking at the end of The Natural when he hits the baseball and the lights all explode. Nick would be the guy who goes over to the stadium owner and apologizes for the fucking lights getting knocked out. Stadium owner's like, I just watched Robert Redford hit a home run. I don't remember The Natural well. He did something that was amazing and it blew out the lights. That's I don't mind. Oh, this is cool.
What about all the people in the stands picking fucking glass shards out of their face? You're gonna apologize to them for your home run? Good for you.
I just love Greg saying Ocean Master manga.
Remember, we've gone through with the DCE, or I'm sorry, with the MCU, we've gone through and moved to a Google document that's actually organized and well written. We're still hearing my funny notes, so that whatever we put it in as is what it was going to be. So sorry that it's Ocean Master slash manga. Number 10, Steppenwolf from the Bad Justice League. And then number 11, Enchantress and her baby bro from
the Bad Justice League.
Versus the Good Justice League. Remember that one?
You remember that one? Remember how you all were like, I guess it was pretty good. Remember that?
Well, yeah, if you've got like 15 hours to tell a story, suddenly Cyborg is a more compelling character.
I just want it out there. They're pretty good. It's still ranked number 7 on the list out of 11 of these movies. So, whatever. But let's just start the conversation talking about...
Watching Greg's face.
The villains of Peacemaker. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about if we liked or disliked, and then we can try to apply it to this abomination of a list.
So we're talking about the butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
Goff specifically, right? The leader of the butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of turned all the butterflies bad.
And the white dragon.
I was including the white dragon.
You got to have Terminator 2.
Okay. T-1000. Trivia. Some facts for you guys. Some fun facts. Remember when we had Facts of the Furious? That was a fun time.
That was cool.
Nick, this is not the first time that John Cena and Robert Patrick have been on screen together. It is, in fact, the third time. Can you name the other two times?
The Marine 1 and 2.
The Marine in 2006 was the first time they were together.
Okay.
And I'm really, really sad, Nick, that you don't know the answer for the second one.
Wait, was he in Fast and Furious?
No, it was a TV show.
A TV show. Shit.
They made an appearance together on an episode of a TV show.
Oh, on Psych?
Psych, yes.
That's right, because he played Maggie Lawson's brother on like two episodes of Psych. He was like a secret agent.
Wow, we're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of the Marine, huh?
Yeah.
Don't sleep on the Marine. That was a fun action
movie. We are coming up on the 20th anniversary in 4 years.
It's close.
Start planning right now.
Andy, 16 years ago, man.
We're also coming up on the 100th anniversary of the Marine.
I thought the villains battled very well in this show. I feel like the twists and turns were probably my most exciting point of it, where the butterfly being a kind of like end of the episode cliffhanger was, I think, really engaging for us. The fact that we actually saw Robert Patrick get suited up as the White Dragon, like obviously his storyline was already compelling, being the father of John Cena and then being in jail, having his whole kind of like group of like assholes kind of be ready to support him there. That was compelling. But then to get to him actually in the suit and it looked cool for a TV show and have him fly through and fuck shit up, and then to have him get shot by John Cena, I think the villain plot overall was very well handled, especially when you add in the butterfly side of things with the cow and all that. Like, it was simultaneously one of those small contained stories that we all love to see so much when it's not just a giant blue beam from the sky, but it also had kind of like bigger stakes of like, if they don't handle this, it could turn into a worldwide fucking event. So I thought that overall it was very, very good. I'd put it on the higher end.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like one of the more well thought out things about the show, in that it kind of gave John Cena motivation and a lot. It made his character a lot more well rounded, in a way that watching the Suicide Squad movie, you would have never assumed that that was even there, because we don't get a whole lot of time with those characters. But yeah, I would. Well, I guess in the way that the other characters in Suicide Squad got that treatment, we got that here. And so, yeah, I think it definitely kind of, it feels well-rounded and it makes sense for his character to go through what he's going through because we see it happen. It's not just something that's told to us. So, yeah, I would say it's probably one of the better developed things about the show.
Craig?
I agree. I think you're all nailing the points I would make, right? And so then you start comparing it where you want to go with it. I don't think... It's when you look at I would say for me, this is a top two, or actually, this is a top three. Where and right now, that would mean that it's got Starro, Waller, Corda Maltese, and then Black Mask and Zazz in it, right? And so, when I start putting it there, it gets interesting. And I think it's the fact that those villains have faces you can immediately think to and jump to, right? Whereas the butterfly is more of a nebulous threat and how they go. But then the fact that, you know, Goff gets in the cop or whatever, and the cop's performance is so good, and how do you put that in there? Let alone
the Robert Patrick, dragon. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take away from him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're making good points, though. It's like, I do think that we're getting to a level where I think with what you're saying here, now that you've said what the top spots are,
yeah.
I do think for me, is it one or two? Like, I do think the James Gunn's villains are higher than Zazz and Birds of Prey, which I did really enjoy.
Ewan McGregor's performance is so good, right?
Exactly.
And that's like, where you get upcut. Is it like, is he a great villain or is Ewan McGregor just fucking killing it?
Yes.
Ew, what is that? A snot bubble? Take it off.
And that's where I am. Like, if we had, I'm not gonna try to take anything away from Robert Patrick, but I think if he had better characterization, and we think of some of the weaker MCU villains that we ranked higher because we love their acting and we love their screen presence. I feel like this would easily be number one, but I do think that this is a better compelling character than Ewan McGregor's villain in Birds of Prey, but I enjoyed watching what he was doing on screen probably more than this. And it all comes out of like how heavily do you weigh, you know, the actor and the performance over how it affects the story and how it, you know, kind of, what's up?
Yeah. Well, I will say with that, like I'm in agreement with you, but because we did vote the Starro and all of them as number one, like I feel now it kind of becomes the conversation of like, okay, where does this compare to that?
I think it's a number two behind them. Yeah, I think Starro is super cool and different as a monster, and I didn't see them using that way, and I really did love it, and I love the whole like backstory of Starro obviously being in space, and like I was happy in the stars, like I was happy looking at the stars, and then to pair that with Amanda Waller, who I think is so great. You know what I mean? Viola Davis is always the bright spot of any Amanda Waller performance or any Suicide Squad, no matter what it is. She's fantastic. I think she was great in it. And I think that's where, for me, they have both the monster and then the face attached to it for the villain that I like more than I like with Butterflies, who I think were great and cool and were, you know, another bright spot of the show. And were scary. They were scary, right? It was a real threat, and I like the powers they gave, but I would put them at number two.
And I really enjoyed Amanda Waller. although I don't think that there was like a whole lot of depth there other than villain being villain. But I do enjoy the sort of like her kind of commanding John Cena to kill Rick Flag. Like I enjoyed that kind of twist of being like, hey, this is my job sort of thing. So I would probably put them in number two. Yeah.
But with that, I think I would put them in number one because I did not like the John Cena killing Rick Flag thing. I thought that was handled really poorly, and turning Peacemaker into one of the villains of Suicide Squad was one of the weaker moments of the movie to me. And I think that this show dug themselves out of a really difficult place to start from. But I think that they did that with humor more so than actual logical storytelling, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I think when we're talking about the villains of both overall, I think that the villains in this didn't do anything wrong except not having a face that we are totally behind. But I'd go number one, but I do think it is pretty close.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, for me, they had a face, but it was one that changed because, like, Goff, I feel like, even at the end, like, the way we see things ending with Goff, it, like, it hits. And I think you guys are also forgetting Judo Master.
Oh, you're fucking right. We are.
Dumb sons of bitches.
It's easy to forget Judo Master. You just forgot about him. It's not our fault we forgot about him.
Number one with the Cheeto. That's what I say.
Blick. What? Come on. Wow. So good. I mean, it's so funny because every time we saw Judo Master, I was so taken away by, like, the performance and, like, what they have this guy doing, because he's bizarre. So good. Yeah, it's so bizarre. It's good. But, like, I'm like, yeah, fuck him up, you know? Yeah. And that's Judo Master. Like, I'm cheering for Judo Master to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he always
I missed
does.
Half this discussion, so I do apologize. But we're trying to put them either at number two or number one on the Ragu Bagu list.
Yeah.
Or
we yeah do you agree with that?
What was number one?
Why not? Number one is Starro, Amanda Waller, and Cork de Maltese from James Gunn with the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I would say so, only because of Robert Patrick. I really think
you put them above. You put him at number one.
I would, because I think he's such a. I think he is that the concept of him is super scary. Right? The concept of someone who's like a white supremacist getting superpowers to me is a really grounded, real world kind of threat that is terrifying. And especially when you add on that added layer of like him being also an abusive father. That to me kind of cinches it. I think that's a lot more interesting than just Amanda Waller being Amanda Waller for the sake of being Amanda Waller. Starro was cool, don't get me wrong, but we only really see Starro for like a few minutes in the movie when he busts out.
But he's
so
awesome,
it's
cool.
It is awesome. It's super cool. But you know, I would actually disagree with Tim a little bit. Like I like the killing of Rick Flag in the Suicide Squad, because I think it is the impetus of the main journey that John Cena's character goes on in Peacemaker. I think that's the whole point of the show is 100%. For him to reconcile that. And so I almost think, like, I mean, obviously that was planned by James Gunn, but if he had planned that knowing that he was going to try to like write a redemption arc for Peacemaker in this series, I think that's a pretty big stroke of genius to me. I'd put him at number one.
I say number two.
Let's vote. Two, two, one.
It's one.
One. One it is.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
The ones have it.
The ones have it. The butterflies go to the top. Butterflies and Judo Master go to the top.
Thank you.
Of the DCEU.
And the White Dragon.
And the White Dragon, bro.
White Dragon, yeah.
We need to remember that. Yeah, so that next movie we get to, which is probably going to be...
Flash? No.
Black Aquaman. Adam. Black Adam. We got to remember in case that one
the power comes to the number one shifts. Spot.
It's hard shifted, dynamic man. Shifts. It's shifted. Andy, hit me with haiku in review.
Yeah, it's a great point right there, Tim. You brought up a segment that we do, and we do that segment every show,
great,
Tim.
Tim, great point.
That's a great point, Tim. Yeah. You did it. You nailed thank it. You. We're proud thank of you. Segment.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear the song that's coming very soon, I'm sure. It's almost here.
Soon. Seven syllables in the middle. You need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret. And haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like my boy Hargat did. He says, vigilante is a whole lot of syllables. I have no more left. Peacemaker is jacked. Looks like Diebeard is real sad. Aquaman fucks fish.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
So thank you for that. Oh, I really that enjoyed the vigilante thing. I did. My boy Brandon BD, baby. Talking to Jason Momoa.
Can you explain?
Asking him what type of fish it was.
Yeah, he's like, he's on a red carpet, this guy that I don't know or whatever. Yeah, and he gets Jason Momoa to walk over finally. And he's like, sorry, real quick, what kind of fish was it? And Momoa has this moment, he goes, oh, God. And he just walks away. And he comes back later. He's like, that was a good one. That was a good one.
That's really funny.
Now it's time to rank the DCEU. Kev, can you please bring this up? 16. Currently, at number one, we have The Suicide Squad 2021. Number two, Birds of Prey. Number three, Wonder Woman. Number four, Shazam. Number five, Batman V Superman, Dawn of Justice. Number 6, Man of Steel. Number 7, The Snyder Cut. Number 8, Aquaman. Number 9, Wonder Woman 1984. Number 10, Justice League. And number 11, Suicide Squad.
Genius.
The first one. Where do we want to rank Peacemaker?
Number 1.
Yeah, where I'm going back on, is it number 1 or number 2 for me?
And Nick, I'll answer for you. It's number 1.
I do think I enjoyed this. I mean, I really enjoyed the Suicide Squad 2021. I thought he did a great job with that. But I think this builds off of it. And like I said before, I think it just is proof positive that you could use that limited series genre or that 8-run episode genre in a different way. And I hope that – I just feel like this is a more special thing than the Suicide Squad. In Suicide Squad, the movie was like, okay, hey, guess what? We're trying to write the course. In this one, it's like, oh, HBO Max. This is what HBO Max original like – comic book genre movies or shows can be. So I think in that regard, I'd put it number 1. I think I enjoyed it more overall than the Suicide Squad.
I'm probably the only one who's going to rank it at number 2. I just really like Suicide Squad movie.
Great movie. No one's taking away from it.
I would put that over, like, this would be really high up even on the MCU list for me, because I just enjoyed it that much. And I think it's the best of James Gunn, where I feel like everything is kind of reined in and you have people maybe helping him decide what jokes are better and what jokes to kind of keep in. I think it's like the best version of him, along with, you know, Guardians 1 and 2. I just really love that damn movie. So I leave that at number 1 and put this at number 2.
Kev, you already said 1, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love Suicide Squad, like legitimately love that movie. But I think that this took me on a ride that very few shows have, and I think that I would put it in number 1 for that reason.
This is James Gunn's universe. We're just living in it, man. I love the movie, and I love the show. I do think the show is number 1 for me because I think Suicide Squad, the movie, was fantastic, but it was kind of expected. I think that this kind of did something for me that was unexpected. And, you know, I said a lot of this stuff already, but James Gunn really went full in on what this was. It's a TV show. It's not a movie. Let's treat it like a TV show. Let's end every episode with a cliffhanger that makes us compelled and excited to watch next week. Let's have some things to theorize. Like, he nailed making a TV show. So because of that, I would put it at number 1. And that gives it the ranking of number 1, Peacemaker. Number 2, Suicide Squad. Number 3, Birds of Prey. Number 4, Wonder Woman. Number 5, Shazam. Number 6, Batman v Superman. Number 7, Man of Steel. Number 8, Snyder Cut. Number 9, Aquaman. Number 10, Wonder Woman 1984. Number 11, Justice League. And number 12, Suicide Squad, the original one. We will return to the DCEU eventually.
One day.
Year. Yeah, one day. Supposedly it'll be when Black Adam comes out, but I'm still not entirely sure about that. But until next time, I want you to know next week we're returning to the MCU in review, where we are going to talk about the Marvel one shot. So everybody, your homework for the week is to go on Disney Plus, and there's a playlist. I think it's like 3 playlists down with all of them. It's about an hour of content total. So it's going to be a fun time. It goes all the way back to some of the earliest moments in the MCU. I'm pretty sure the first one shot takes place around the time of Iron Man 2. And the last one is Thor Ragnarok. So we're about to go through a journey here. I think there's 3 Thor Ragnarok ones. So I'm very excited about that because I have never seen them. But watch them all. We're going to talk about them next week. Greg will give his final updated ranking of the MCU with Eternals, where we'll finally be able to vote on that one. And then, like I said, Morbius is the week after that. And Greg will finally rest everything. He'll come in. He'll vote for Venom 2 so we can finally get it on the list, you know? But until next time, I love you all.